Hello, and welcome to the Celebration Church podcast. We're so glad you're joining us for this message. For more information on Celebration Church or to give online, visit us at celebrationedmonton.com. We hope you enjoy this message.
Well, we're starting, as we said, a brand new series here today called We Is Greater Than Me. Independence is so celebrated in our culture, isn't it? I mean, we just love to be independent, and it seems like it's almost like a cultural goal, be yourself, be your own individuality, all of those things. And almost it's like, as I watch culture moving and shifting, and especially with so much advancement in technology, it's almost as though we have an effort to become, if you will, a people-less society or less dependent on people in our world, because we've figured out how to do things that we used to need people for, but we don't need people for those things anymore. And so it's like we're being intentional to reduce our dependency on people and to seek a sense of independence. And of course, this has started years ago as we watched things like gas stations become self-serve, and I'm sure that all the companies celebrated that. We don't always celebrate that when you have to get out of a car on a freezing day and pump your own gas to pay the same price. No, you pay more than you ever did before, but self-serve. You can get your own gas. The self-checkout has become extremely popular. Grab your groceries or whatever, stand there and beep, 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 walk your way through that. I don't know about you, but I'm always a lot more confident and comfortable at self-checkout if there's an employee close by, because there always seems to be something that doesn't quite go right, that you need to get corrected or whatever. And of course, and don't hate on me when I say this word, because it's not a place I frequent, but McDonald's. There's a very unhealthy man sitting on the front row that will need prayer after service. Was in there recently, and now, you can walk in and there's this big touch screen, and you can put your card in and walk your way through the touch screen, figuring out what it is that you want. And of course, the wonderful thing about that is that when you're finished, it doesn't ask you if you'd like fries with that. It just takes what you said for face value. Banking has shifted greatly. Many of you remember the time when, to do any banking, you had to get there before a ridiculous time, like 3 p.m. or something. And then everything was done with a teller. It was line up, meet the teller. Everything was done. Now it's all about the ATMs. It's all about the online banking, of course. So much can be done, online. And even recently, they put out new advertisements showing people doing all this banking online. I love how the ad ends, because it's a date. And this poor guy's girlfriend is so into banking online, she's not even talking to the guy. And he's just like, I need to check out another girl. At any rate, I'm sure that's what's going through his mind, but so much of it has disconnected us from people. Online shopping, there's a craze. Now at Christmas time, we don't just hear about how the malls are doing, we hear about how the online shopping is doing, and even the whole cyber thing and all that. Was it Cyber Monday? Yeah, Cyber Monday, that's the one. Where you used to always need somebody, now you can go buy a house by doing virtual tours and literally walk through it on a computer screen. You can buy cars on computer and clothes and shoes and books and all of these things. At one time, you had to interact with somebody. You had to connect with somebody. You had to do this through relationship. Now you're doing it just through you and a computer screen. And of course, we can't forget the infamous selfie. You don't need somebody to take your picture. You can take your own picture, because you have a smartphone. And you can be a smart aleck with your smartphone and take all kinds of selfies. And then on top of that, you don't even need help to do a group picture, because you went out and bought a selfie stick, which means I trust no one to do as good a job as me. I'm going to do it all by myself and take group and individual selfie photos. So we've become a very disconnected people in many different ways. In fact, this phenomenon is so strong that there's now, I'm now a part of conversations that go like this. These high school students are awkward with face-to-face conversation. They are so used to everything being done on text. Everything is about typing back and forth to each other, you know, that they're actually awkward with a face-to-face conversation. And so, you know, some high schooler, rather than inviting the girl three lockers over on a date, he's going to text her instead because it's more comfortable. And they've just become awkward even in group settings and things like this. Because why? Because this is just the way it is. We're all about this texting and technology thing. We don't understand connection with people. We celebrate in our culture financial independence. And I get that. You know, it's about being able to support yourself on into your retirement years, things of that nature. But even when you become independent financially, you will still need people to be in your life. And if you don't have people in your life, we have a word for that. It's called lonely. It's called isolated. It's called disconnected. In fact, what we do in our culture, in what we consider to be the strongest form of punishment in our penal system, is to put somebody in something called solitary confinement. In other words, we consider it to be like the worst way or the strongest way we could treat somebody who's acting out in society is to completely isolate them from people. Now, God designed you and I to live in community. That's the way it is. You and I were made to live in community. Even at creation, right after God made Adam, the first thing he says is, it's not good for man to be alone. It's not good for man to be alone. We were designed to be in community. And there's something inside of us that longs for community. There's something inside of us that is so strong in our nature for wanting connection, wanting a sense of this is where I belong, this is my community, that people will actually join harmful communities to them just because of that sense of belonging. They're called gangs. And even though the gang isn't going to bless your life, you're probably going to live, you know, with less money, you're going to have less friends, you're always going to be in fear either of the other rival gang or fear of the law, and in the end, your life isn't going to be blessed with it. One day, you're going to walk away from that gang and go, oh, thank God that's over with. What a terrible thing. But you got in there. Why? Because you needed community. Because you so strongly wanted a sense of this is where I belong that you would even do something that was harmful to yourself just to have that. Well, in our world, we also have things that I would call temporary communities. And these are the ones that we develop around the activities of our life. We go to school, we have our buddies from school. We go to work, we have our buddies from work. We maybe go to a gym, and we have our buddies there. We have our buddies that do the same sport or the same hobby with us. And typically, these groups are around the activity. And once the activity's over, the group tends to kind of dissipate over time and doesn't stay together. And we're not going to talk a lot about those right now, but later on in this series, we'll touch on what God's intention is with those groups and how he would want to, you know, work inside of that. But what we're talking about is a sense of community that is meant to be over the long haul in our lives. God's design is for you and I to be in community. That's why when you were born into a family. You weren't just brought out into the world and there you go, all on your own. Nobody has nothing to do. No. You absolutely were 100% dependent on something called community, and that community typically would be your family. Well, guess what? When you got born again, you also got brought into another family called God's family. You got born again into a community, a spiritual community, an eternal community that's going to last forever, where you're doing life together now, but it goes on into eternity. I want to start this off by having a look at a great scripture about being born again into, this community called the family of God. And this scripture is what was taking place in the church when it first got launched, Peter got up after Jesus rose from the grave and ascended, and the Holy Spirit fell, and people were filled with the Spirit of God. He preaches, and like thousands of people respond. They want to get baptized. What are we going to do now? We've given our lives to Christ. Look at what happens in Acts chapter 2 and verse 43. Acts 2:43. A deep sense of awe came over all of them. Not but ah. And the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And look, all believers met together constantly. In other words, they didn't get baptized and then, yay, I'm done. And it's like, how come we don't see that guy anymore? Oh, he already got baptized. He's good. We got him wet. We're good to go. No, they understood, okay, that's my beginning, but now I need community. All believers met together constantly and shared everything that they had. They sold their possessions and shared the proceeds with those in need. They worshiped together, look at this, at the temple each day and met in homes. Temple and homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day, the Lord added what? To their group. The Lord added to their group, those who are being saved. It doesn't just say that the Lord added to the kingdom. It doesn't just say that the Lord added to the Lamb's Book of Life. Look, there's another one, just got saved. Turn the page, write his name down. No, he says he added to their group. God sees it as, okay, you got born again. You're now a part of the group called God's family. You're now a part of the community. And that's how he integrates. That's how he adds. You and I were not made for independence. We were made for interdependence. So what's the difference? Interdependence is this. I've got something I can share that will help you. You've got something you can share that will help me. And together, we become more than we could ever be on our own. Our lives are blessed way more together than they could ever be on their own. Over the next 6 weeks, we're going to have a look at the subject of community. And I just want to give a shout out for Rick Warren and Saddleback Church, who have put a lot of input into this series that we're going to be doing. And we're going to talk about how it works. We're going to talk about what it can do in our life. We're going to talk about how to keep it healthy. That's important. And we're going to talk about the purposes that God has for community. And here's the bigger part of it. Here's the more important, and that is the application. I want to encourage everyone here, especially if you've never been a part of any Connect group, to get involved in a Connect group for the next 6 weeks. To sign up today, get involved, make a choice. You're going to see a lot of information out in the lobbies. You're going to see people with red shirts on that talk about connecting people, growing faith, it says on them. Those are the people that will help you find a group that suits you. And here's the beauty of it. If you can't find a group that suits you, they're going to sign you up for a class next week so you can be a leader and start your own. Oh, now you're really afraid. Just kidding. You don't have to be afraid. You can go find, you know, 2, 3, 4 of your friends, gather them at a time that works for you, and you can do this. We're going to give you really easy material to be able to work with. You know, a lot of our groups now are starting, and they're just engaging in Sunday mornings. They're going, you know what, we're going to take what we heard last Sunday, and we're going to talk about the application of that in our life. How much more practical can it get than that? We're teaching every single week. The way to get the most out of a sermon is to talk about it with somebody else. And so you can get involved in many of those ways. There'll be more information later on today about that. So I need to move on. But you know what? I just want to encourage you. Get involved in a Connect group, whether it's on-site here at the church or whether it's off-site in a home or whether it's in a Starbucks or a garage. It doesn't matter. Anywhere it can be. But don't just be that person who says, oh, you know, I just as soon stay home, watch some television every night. You could be at home every night watching reruns of Friends. Where you're watching people pretend to have friendships in their life, or you could take one evening, give an hour, and actually go out and make a friend. And that's our encouragement. We'd like to see you actually go out and make a friend rather than just watching reruns of some other people pretending to have friends for an hour on television. So let's get into this. How does God use community in our life? Why is it so important? Number one, community is God's answer to loneliness. Community is God's answer to loneliness. Is community important? Sure it is. There's so much written about it in Scripture. Throughout the New Testament, there's a phrase that comes up over and over again. It goes like this, one another, one another. And then there's exhortations attached to it. Love one another. Be patient with one another. Be kind towards one another. Build one another up. How about this one? Be devoted to one another. Well, you can't be devoted to someone you don't know, and they can't be devoted to you either if you're not known. So how do you get to know people and to be known by people so that you can actually be devoted to them and they can be devoted to you, which basically means that you care about them and they care about you? Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25 says this. Some people have gotten out of the habit. This is Message version, by the way. Some people have gotten out of the habit. No, NCV. Correct myself. Of meeting for worship. But we must not do that. We should keep on encouraging each other. Next slide. Especially since you know that the day of the Lord's coming is getting closer. Okay, so the scripture is saying, listen, we should be meeting together for worship, and then we should be encouraging one another. Well, it talks about meeting for worship. We'll go back to Acts. What did it talk about? There was two different meetings. There was this temple gathering where the crowd gathered. That's what this is on Sunday mornings. Sunday morning is the crowd. That's what this is. Sunday morning is the big worship experience. And the scripture says, hey, you should keep doing that. That's important for your life. That's what Sundays are all about. We're meeting together, connecting as a crowd in a worship and teaching experience. But it also talks about something else. It says, you should keep on encouraging each other. You should keep on encouraging each other. You know what? That's personal. That's personal. Because you think about encouraging one another. You know, I can look over at somebody that, I don't necessarily know their name or anything, and I can just give a shout out and say, hey, I want you to be encouraged this week. Well, that was nice of me to do that, you know, but the truth is I have no idea what's going on in his life and such. I'm just giving a very generic kind of, you know, encouragement, if you will. But let's suppose that I happen to know that this guy here, he's going for a job interview on Wednesday. And I say to him, hey, listen, I know you got that job interview. I want to encourage you. I'm going to be praying with you. I'm going to give you a phone call on Tuesday night. We'll pray together. And when you're in that interview, I'm going to be praying for you. We're going to believe God together for that job. Now, here's what happens is encouragement becomes dynamic when it gets specific. Yeah. Yeah. But it can't get specific if I don't know him. And it's in the context of us knowing one another that we actually find out what's going on in each other's lives, that we can offer encouragement that is powerful, encouragement that is actually meaningful. Why? Because we know specifically what's going on in each other's lives. Well, that was encouraging. That can't happen and doesn't happen to the same degree in a big group as it can in smaller group connecting where we actually get to know people. Encouragement needs to be specific. How does it get fostered? In smaller group meetings. Look at 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 9. Here's what the scripture says. Open your homes to each other without complaining. Oh man, the pastor wants me to run this group. No, don't complain. Oh, I'm supposed to have people over to my house and it's messy. Clean it up. You know, I don't know if people like my house. It's not that comfortable. Take the plastic off the couch. It'll all be good, okay? Just go for it. Just do it. Oh, I'm not sure about my house. Fine. Go to somebody else's house. It's called Starbucks. Okay, that's somebody else's house. But it's still a place where you can gather. The point of the matter is the scripture's encouraging, saying there ought to be smaller group settings that happen in your world, not just the large group celebration. And so it's saying, hey, open your home. Be open to connecting with each other. Find that way. And so people do that. People do that in homes here with our connect groups. People do that on site here at the church and use different meeting places right in the church for some of these groups. People are doing it in off sites, different locations. But you can be, here's why this is important. You can be in a large group and be lonely. You can be a person who comes here every single Sunday. You know, you're here, you're in service, you're tithing, you're regular. People know your face, may know your name, and you're still lonely. Why? Because you don't know people and people don't really know you. You can be here every Sunday and still, in a way, be a little bit incognito, be distant, not really be familiar. Matter of fact, you can be married and be lonely. You say, oh, well, I've got my spouse. Well, the two become one, and that's that one unit. But that unit needs to have other relationships besides just each other. And so even as a married couple, you can be lonely. So God says, listen, I want you to connect in smaller settings. I want you to actually get to know people and get to be known by people. 1 Corinthians 14, 26. This is the Message version one. So here's what I want you to do. When you gather for worship, each one of you be prepared with something that will be useful for all. Sing a hymn, teach a lesson, tell a story, lead a prayer, provide an insight. Take your turn, no one person taking over. Then each speaker gets a chance to say something special from God, and you will all learn from each other. Now, think about that. Could you imagine us doing that on Sunday morning? If we did that on Sunday morning, we wouldn't get out of here till Monday morning. Okay, it's your turn. What's your story? Keep it short, would you? We got another 100 people to get through here. Obviously, that scripture is talking about a different setting. It's talking about a smaller group of people connecting. But as they're connecting, they've all got their own personal walk with God. And they're bringing something out of their walk with God and being able to say, you know what, I was reading in the scripture. You know what, I was praying for you and God put this thought in my heart for you. And they're sharing with one another, encouraging one another, and being able to connect and bring something to the table in a setting where it actually can function. And so this kind of interaction and connecting happens in something like our connect groups. Christianity is not a solo activity. It's a partnership with others. It's not to be done in isolation. It's to be done in community. It's not what I can do that matters, but it's what I can do with others that matters. And so we don't need to have an attitude of, well, I'm a Christian now and I'm giving it my best shot. Don't just give it your best shot. Do it God's way. And it'll make it a whole lot more easy, and it'll make it a whole lot more fruitful and more effective. And we want to take time here this morning to share a story out of a Connect Group experience. And so I want you guys to give a warm welcome to Aniola as she comes. Let's grab that for you. There we go. Wow, I can lose my page on technology by touching a screen. There we go. I'm back. Hi.
Hi, everyone.
So maybe tell us, Aniola, a little bit about your background when it comes to faith and church.
So I grew up in a Christian household. I'm originally from Calgary. My parents were both involved in Christianity, involved in church, and I kind of was just... It was part of my family routine, but I didn't really care about it that much. Go to church on holidays, you know, follow the rules, do as I'm told, don't get into trouble, focus on school, all that good stuff. And so that was really kind of my attitude towards faith and church before sort of the Connect Group and all that good stuff.
Okay. So you ended up moving up here.
Mm-hmm.
And tell us a little bit about how you went from that to... And they have better church.
Yeah, so I moved here for school by myself. So I'm a medical student, and you kind of go where you're accepted. So I had no family, no friends here, grabbed a place, got started, got to work, and I was totally on my own, like had no idea, didn't know anyone. And my mom, who's a very ardent Christian, she's always has a scripture in her back pocket and is, you know, goes to church every Sunday, rain or shine. She really encouraged me to go to church, and I was like, nah, I'm not going to do that. Forget about it. And she nagged me and nagged me and nagged me and nagged me and texted me and this and that. And I was like, I'm not going to do it. And finally, when she came to Edmonton one weekend, she's like, we're going to go to this church I heard about because I heard it's very nice, and we're just going to go, so you just have to deal with it. And so we hopped in our car and we drove here. And I sat at the back with my latte, you know, stood at the appropriate times, clapped at the appropriate times, you know, did it, you know, the way I'm supposed to. And at the end of the service, one of the individuals of the team came up and said, oh, there's a card in the seat back in front of you, you know, fill it out. And I was like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And my mom's like, fill it out. Pick connect groups. You need to connect to people. So you tick that off. And so I ticked it off. You know, that's done. Yeah, dropped it in the basket. And I was like, okay, peace. I'm going to go live my life. You know, you go back to Calgary. I do my thing. And then a month later, she's just like, have you gotten to the connect group yet? But that's kind of how my first experience at Celebration was. Yeah.
So after, excuse me, after signing up, I understood you got connected.
Yeah, they sent me a text message which I was like, that's very direct. So it's like straight to my phone. And I was like, well, now I got a text message from a person with a name who's a real person. So I guess I got to go to this thing. And it was Young Adults was the connect group that I got connected with. Yeah, shout out to Young Adults. And I sat there in my car like 20 minutes before and I hummed and hawed. And I was like, oh, I don't want to go into this thing. This is going to be awkward. I don't know what these people are all about. And I really forced myself to get out of my car and go in. And I'll be honest, the first group, I was not very comfortable. I was kind of like, this is weird. I'm not used to this. You know, I don't come to church on days that are not Sundays. And and even then, that's a stretch sometimes. But it was everyone was really nice and really welcoming. And I kind of, as I was leaving in haste, they're like, we're going to see you next Wednesday, right? And I was like, yeah. And I felt like, okay, I guess I need to come back. These people were so nice. There were snacks. And so I came back. I came back the second time. And I was like, okay, I've done my two. I'm going to sneak out. And as I was sneaking out, they all just accosted me. It was like this, like, so do you have a Facebook? And like, what's your phone number? And like, what are you doing this weekend? And what about you? And what about you? And I just kind of got sucked in a little bit, I guess. Yeah.
So it became something more than Wednesdays then?
Absolutely. And it didn't really happen on a purposeful way. It was just kind of at Wednesdays, like, hey, we're doing this thing on Friday, or hey, we're doing this thing on Saturday. And I just started going to that and going to that. And before I knew it, I was going to church-related activities 3 times a week, which for anyone who knows me, that is very bizarre. So it just kind of happened naturally, just a progression to having a little group of people that I could see, and I knew them on Sunday. It wasn't just a sea of people. Yeah.
Wow. So what would you say has been the impact, out of being in a Connect group on you personally?
I think for me personally, both from a social perspective and from a faith perspective, it just helped me feel a little bit more grounded. I was always like a Christian, I always identified as Christian, but it took it from kind of a passive activity to more of an active activity. As you can tell, I'm sitting here on stage talking about myself. So it was quite the progression there, but it became more of something that I thought about, something that I got involved in, something that I took more seriously, and it was good. For myself. It wasn't just what someone told me to do.
Very good. And you have friends.
Yeah, and I have friends, which is very good.
Awesome. Thank you so much for sharing with us. What I love about your story is how it really testifies to the fact that the people that are part of the Connect group aren't just there and being about my 3 or 4 friends, but are being outward focused. Yeah. To a new person showing up and hospitality being exercised towards that person. Number 2, community is God's plan to protect you. Excuse me, but I need to protect my throat. And right now, God's plan is called Fisherman's Friend, which is my friend. Community is God's plan to protect you. Let me say it very directly. Isolation makes you devil bait. Satan can eat your lunch if you're living life isolated from others. Accusation, depression, discouragement, deception, dumb ideas, living in defeat. Yeah, you're all laughing at dumb ideas because we've all done that, haven't we? Had a friend in our life, hey, I'm thinking of this. And they look at you and go, that's a dumb idea. It's really tragic because a lot of times when that happens to me, I've already done the dumb idea. And the consequence of the dumb idea and the friend both together are testifying that that was a dumb idea. But truthfully, we can live a defeated life for one reason. That is, we're disconnected and we're isolated. Yeah. And it just sets us up for that. And there's all sorts of ways that the enemy can work against you and unnecessarily get you off track or keep you defeated because you're not in community that is meant to turn all of that around in your life. Let me give you a couple of biblical examples. Think of Samson. You know, Samson's whole deal was, you know, that he was just going to do his own thing all the time. And the only real community that he seemed to have was his family. And he was constantly refusing to listen to them. And, you know, don't marry that girl. I'm going to marry her. Don't go down and drink at these vineyards. Oh, I'm going drinking anyway. You know, whatever. He was just doing his thing all the time, constantly rejecting, constantly not listening. And then finally he ends up in this relationship with Delilah, and he doesn't have one friend who says to him, hey, Sammy, that chick is bad news. You need to dump her and drop her like third period French. I mean, you need to get her out of your life. And here's the deal. He didn't have a community. He didn't have people around him that were close enough to him where they would be comfortable enough to talk about something so personal. That wasn't in his world. So what does he do? Dumb decisions. Finds himself in a mess. How about the prodigal son? In Luke chapter 15, the story of the prodigal son who decides, I'm going to leave home. Guess what home was? It was his community. I'm not going to listen anymore to what dad's saying. I think I can do a better job all by myself. And all of his bad decisions start the day he disconnects from community and goes into isolation. Proverbs 18:1 says this, he who separates himself seeks his own desire and he quarrels against all sound wisdom. When believers start to posture themselves against community, claiming everybody else is wrong, typically they're about to make some really bad choices that are detrimental to their life. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verse 9 says this, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. For if either of them falls, one will lift up his company, his companion rather. One will lift up his companion. But woe to the one who falls when there's no one to lift him up. Woe to the one who falls when there's what? Nobody to lift them up. Why? Because they're not in a community. They don't have the relationships. Community is God's plan to protect you. You could say, oh, that's okay. I've got family. I'm from a big family. You know, if something happens to me, I've got family. If I end up in the hospital, I've got family. But here's the deal. When you're hurting, your family's hurting. You can say, oh, family will be there for me. But here's my question. Who's going to be there for your family? God wants our connections to be bigger than just our immediate family, because when our family is hurting, then somebody else is there to strengthen and walk with us. God's answer is for there to be community in your life that goes beyond your family. There's a big difference between this, being in a church and being in community. And I think that's what is so important to understand. You can be in this church from week to week, year after year, and not be in community, not be known and know others. Still be that person who's kind of like, nobody really knows you, kind of incognito. And people don't really know you, and you don't really know people. And here's what happens. When you're down, when you're hurt, when maybe you're in a hospital or you're going through a really tough time, you call the office, and we've literally seen this happen. We've had people call our office and say things like, oh, I've been a part of the church for X number of years, not just weeks, but years. And then we have this conversation around the staff that goes like this. Does anybody know this person? And nobody has a clue. And then we try to look up their face on Facebook, and sure enough, they got a picture of their dog on Facebook. We can't, we're stuck, man. We can't do it. But seriously, we've had people do that. And here's what they're doing. They're calling the church, wanting the benefit of community, but they never got into community. They never served. They never extended themselves. They were never there for somebody else because they never involved themselves to where they would get to be known or know others. And so it kept them on the outside, and now they're disappointed. I don't want you to be disappointed. Now, people who have community have a very different experience. And here's what it goes like. People that are in community, when they're in trouble, they don't call our office. Their friends do. And their friends say something like this. Hey, did you know that so-and-so had this happen to them? We just want you to know we're all taking care of it, but we just wanted to make sure that you were in the loop of what's going on. And that's the kind of phone call that we get when somebody is in community, and the kind of, you know, information, the way that it flows in those settings. Ecclesiastes 4:12 says this, and if one can overpower him who is alone, just that phrase, one can overpower him who is what? Alone. Two, though, can resist him, and a cord of three strands is not quickly torn apart. Just the fact that you build some connection, build some community, strengthens you. Getting in one of our connect groups is so important for that. I like to put it this way. Get in a small group before you need a small group. Yeah. Number three, community is God's plan for answering prayer. Community is God's plan for answering prayer. Heard the story about a guy who was caught in a flood, rains are coming down, waters go up. He ends up on the roof of his house, and he's up there, and he's a Christian. So he's praying, God, help me. God, rescue me. Big log comes floating by him, and he doesn't do anything with it. Eventually, a guy in a little fishing boat comes by and says, hey, why don't you get in my boat? He goes, no, I'm praying. I'm asking God to rescue me. A little while later, a guy flies over him with a helicopter, drops out a ladder from his helicopter, says, here, climb up the ladder. He goes, that's okay. God's going to rescue me. I'm praying. I'm a believer. Guy drowns, goes to heaven. He's angry at Jesus. He says, how come you didn't help me? I was praying. I asked you to help me. I ended up dying. God says, I sent a log. I sent a fisherman. I sent a helicopter. You didn't take any of those things. Do you know that most of the time your prayers are answered through people? Your prayers are answered through people. It's so important for us to be connected because of that. It's when you're praying that someone will come into your life who will offer help. Somebody will bring wisdom. Somebody might bring a resource that you need. Somebody might just offer the time that you need. But God is moving, and he's often moving through other people. Sometimes I think what happens is we've developed in our Christian culture a tendency, and maybe it comes out of a number of factors, but a tendency to look at God's word and to personalize it. And sometimes we do that intentionally just to build our faith. And so I'll read a scripture that might be about everybody, but I'll personalize the scripture and I'll make it about me. You know, and so it might be a we scripture, but I turn it into an I scripture. Why? Because I'm trying to build my faith, and I want to be confident that God will do this, not just through a group of people, but also through me. And I understand that, and I get that. But sometimes I think in our personalizing of the scriptures that we can actually miss the fact that it was shared in the context of a community, that's how it's lived out. Let me give you an example of that. Sometimes we can look at a scripture like Philippians 4:13, where Paul said, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. And we love to quote that, don't we? We love to take that verse and go, I can do it. I can do all things, you know, and build ourselves up. And that's all great. Paul was saying this. That scripture was about the fact that sometimes he had lots of resource and sometimes he had lack. And he said, you know what? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can live with a bunch of stuff and I can live without stuff. I can get through it all. That scripture, though, is actually shared in the context of him praising a church for supporting him and supplying for him to be able to be the missionary that God called him to be. Look at the very next verse, Philippians 4:14. Says this, nevertheless, you have done well to share with me in my affliction. This scripture is not intended to develop some kind of me and Jesus are going to get it through kind of attitude. I can do all things, just me and Jesus. No, Paul's saying, listen, I can do all things, but boy, I'm so thankful that there are believers in my life who are doing this and supplying for me so that I don't have to have lack all the time. This was Paul's prayer being answered through people. It's when you're praying, God, give me strength, and someone shares an encouraging word with you. And when you're telling God, I don't think I can handle anymore in this situation, and someone comes along and shares a story of endurance and faith that builds your spirit, or you're praying for answers and someone happens to connect you to the right people that know how to bring about your situation and turn it around. It's when you're praying for a solution and somebody coaches you on how to deal with this. And many times that's how it works. It's because we're connected in community. And a lot of times what happens is you're connected in community and you're just one person away from the person who's got the answer for the prayer that you're praying. And it's because of the fact that you're connected to people that God can so quickly resource you with what it is that you need. Number four, community is God's plan to use you in ministry. Community is God's plan to use you in ministry. 1 Corinthians 12:12, scripture says this, even as the body is one and yet as many members, all the members of the body, though they are many, are one. So also is Christ. For by one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body. Here's the deal. When you came to Christ and you got baptized, you became a member of the body of Christ. You became connected into something much bigger than yourself. God connects you to something bigger than yourself called his church. And it's in that connection, he says, that you have a special part to play. In fact, Corinthians goes on to talk about in the scriptures there about how there's all these different members and they all have different roles, and it's comparing the body of Christ, the local church, to a human body and saying, just in the same way there's all these different parts to a human body that make it alive and make it effective, there's all these parts that do the same thing in the church. Your greatest redemptive potential is found in your connection to God's church and its members. In other words, God saved you, but he also gifted you to be used by him. But the greatest way that that gets manifested is in the context of being connected to the local church and being connected to its members. Doesn't matter what your gift is, doesn't matter what your talent is, doesn't matter what your passion is. God uses you to your greatest potential for his kingdom in the context of being connected to the local church. That's his plan. That's his pattern. That's what Jesus is building. And as a church, here's the deal. We get to do things that are so much greater than any one of us individually could ever do. That's just the facts. We get to do amazing things as a church to preach the gospel to our city that none of us could do by ourselves. But together, we get to represent Jesus in such an awesome way. Ephesians 2:10. This is one of those scriptures we like to personalize. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. Maybe you've heard people do this before where they personalize a verse and they say, I am his workmanship. And that's true, created in Christ, yada, yada, that I would walk in them. And we're encouraging each other by personalizing the verse and going, man, I am God's workmanship. God's going to use me. God's got a purpose for me. And that's all true. But there's something else about this verse that we have to focus on. And sometimes we focus on the workmanship and the call of God. But I'd like you to focus on these words. We. The God is saying, listen, you all together have gifts and abilities. But it's in the context of we that amazing things happen. It's putting it in the context of community, connecting, working side by side with one another and sharing our faith and doing ministry that amazing things happen. I think our Western mindset loves to create something that's, very independent, very individualized, and there's a value in that, but we're not going to really do our part, the good work that God has called us to do, until we understand that we have to connect as a community together to do it. Here's the other thing. You'll never know just how much God could do through you until you offer your service along with others in community. The thing about serving is this, and this is important to note, and we're just going to wrap up with this, that much of Jesus' ministry was not about a big event and wasn't about a crowd. It was about individuals. Much of Jesus' ministry, as you read through the Gospels, was him connecting one-on-one with people. A woman at a well who needed to get the confusion out of her life. A woman with an issue of blood who needed a miracle. A woman who was, being judged for adultery, and Jesus ministered one-on-one to set that person free and give them a new start. How about a man by the name of Bartimaeus who is blind? Jesus turns that around. How about a man named Nicodemus who Jesus meets with privately? Nobody else knows about it, and he has this conversation with him. How about a lame guy who's by a pool called Bethesda, and Jesus walks into what could have been a crowd but decides, I'm just going to talk to you. And you know what I love about Connect Group Ministry is it opens the door for God to use you in amazing ways, one-on-one, just like Jesus would. And you can say, oh, that's not much of an exciting vision, Pastor. Me being used to minister just to one person? Yeah, but multiply it across the church and you've got over 1,000 people being touched. Because why? Because we're all willing to do our part when it's like, hey, God, you've shown me this person I need to encourage. You've shown me this person I need to share my faith with. You've shown me this person I need to be inviting out to church. Galatians 6:10 says this, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers. The family of believers. That's our starting point. Get connected with those who are fellow believers. Start doing good. Start exercising your gift and the grace on your life to make a difference with them. And then God says, I'll take it even beyond that. Let's stand as we take time to pray. Now we have something else coming up. before we wrap up the day. You know, God's community starts with salvation. You say, how do I get into this community? How do I get this working? It's really easy. The scripture says this, that those who have received Christ are walking in the light. And then it says this, when we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another. In other words, the foundation of community isn't just that we have things in common that we enjoy, but it's that we have Jesus in our life. That ultimately is the foundation of building community with one another, is that Christ is in our life, that we're all walking with Jesus, that we're all experiencing Jesus doing things in our life, and that's what's made us into what the Bible calls the family of God. So how do I get into that family? How do I get into that community? You get into it through Jesus. Jesus said, I'm the door. I'm the door. I'm the entry point to this. And the way that we do that is that we acknowledge Christ as the Savior, and then we repent. We change our mind. We stop thinking about just doing life on our own in our own way to deciding, you know what, I think I'm going to do life God's way. I'm going to allow God to be first place in my life, and I'm going to find out what it is, what's that purpose for me, and I'm going to serve him with all my heart. That's called repentance. That's called changing our mind. And then the Bible says that we're just to have a conversation with God where we simply acknowledge him as our Savior and Lord, invite him into our life and say, God, I want to get started on this journey with you. Maybe you're here today and you've never prayed a prayer like that. You've never said yes to Jesus. I'm going to start walking with you. Well, this is your opportunity to do that. Maybe you're someone who says, you know, I prayed that prayer, but I can't say I've lived it. Then maybe you should join us today again and say, God, I need a fresh start. I need a fresh start. I want to welcome you to bow your heads for this time of prayer and just ask, how many here would say, you know what, Pastor, include me in that prayer. Include me in that prayer. Just to raise your hand, just to acknowledge, man, include me in that prayer. I want a fresh start with Jesus. That's awesome. Thank you, guys, all over the place. That's awesome. Anybody else? I don't want to miss anybody. Thank you. Thank you. Let's pray with those who are praying. You guys can put your hands down. Let's pray with those who are praying. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you died for me, that you paid for my past. I ask you to forgive me, and I invite you into my life, confessing you as my Savior and my Lord. I'm going to follow you with all of my heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thanks again for joining us today. We're always encouraged to hear about what God is doing in your life, so if you have a story to share, send us an email at amen@celebrationedmonton.com. If you'd like more information about Celebration Church, or if you'd like to give online, check out celebrationedmonton.com.